From Isaiah chapter 40, these words were those that were set to music by George Frideric Handel in his work, The Messiah. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald of good tidings, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Good tidings. I've been coming down here more or less every Sunday for almost 13 years. And the first time I drove from Lubbock to Post, and you kind of get up along that area on the top of the Cap Rock, and there's some billboards, and you look at those, and you're not expecting it, and all of a sudden the bottom drops out of your road. And there is an amazing view off to the left, and in a little bit, the view is equally amazing off to the right. And you get a little rush of good feeling every time. I still do, every single time. My friends in neurophysiology tells me there's a reason we feel good on this. We get a little rush of a neurotransmitter that gets excreted in the little biochemistry laboratories that sit on top of our shoulders. We get a serotonin rush, an endorphin high, when we see something pretty, or when in any other form or fashion our lives are enlivened a little bit. Good news is produced by a little rush of serotonin. Now, I'm also told that those who suffer from depression have a biochemistry laboratory that doesn't work quite as well as other people, and that's what produces the illness. And we have invented, through pharmacology, something called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. That'll be on the quiz. Much of the new class of antidepressant medication, that's what they're called. And the way it works is this. Everybody, when they experience something that gives them pleasure, get a little rush of this compound, but it's very quickly reabsorbed because it's a very powerful substance, and our own bodies produce it, and God has apparently put it there for a reason, to elevate our mood. But in some, the rush goes away very quickly. And what a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor does is get in the way of the reabsorption. In other words, it makes the effect of the endorphin last longer. And that elevates our moods and keeps us on an even keel. So I think that good news is the serotonin in our lives. And too often, good news is overcome very quickly by bad news. And I think part of our task, being ones to whom good news is given, is to learn how to hold on to it at least long enough to get us through the tough stuff. It's the good stuff that gets us through the difficulties. And so I want to talk today about the power of good tidings. First thing we have to do, I think, is to recognize the good news when we hear it, because some of what seems so mundane is, when you think about it for more than just a second or two, is rather good news. For example, I mean, Post is a town of what, about 4,000 people or so? I would presume that at least one of those 4,000 people this past week, has pulled the trigger on making plans for the trip of a lifetime. Don't know who, don't know why, but imagine with me that at least one of the people with whom we live decided this week to point and click, I accept the trip, or make the phone call to the planner, or see a travel agent, and in 6 months they'll be in Kenya or someplace like that. And every day between now and then looks forward with hope, and the trip will occur. And every day after are the memories, well, and the pictures, too, that you can even resurrect and look over again. Because the day will come when trips of a lifetime are no longer feasible. But not today. For today, there is good news. I expect there's at least somebody in the city of Post who this last week adopted a cat. Everybody smiles at the thought of a you know, a cat shows up on your doorstep and, well, isn't that cute? And cat's still there the next day, and you go, well, this shall be a sign unto you. You know, and you put out the food and it keeps coming back, and nothing magic about that. You put food out, they will come back. And, you know, who knows how long this will be a part of your life. There will come a day when you will outlive the cat, but not today. Not today. For today, there is good news. Somebody in the City of Post had to have gotten a note from or a story about a grandchild, I would presume, somewhere in this last week. And don't you love the thank you notes you get from your like 12-year-old grandkids when you send them a sweater? Dear Grandma and Grandpa, thank you very much for the sweater. I really like it. Thank you again. Love. Well, I mean, okay, you get it. But, you know, at least part of them, even if they didn't like the sweater, when they wear it, they think of you. And it makes you smile just a little bit, does it not? Even the perfunctory notes we get from the kids and the grandkids. Or maybe it's a story. You know, we got a story about our four-year-old this week. The little guy wound up in a fishing tournament. Victor's going to appreciate this especially. He wound up in a fishing tournament of one of these jamboree deals that they have. Caught a 27-inch catfish. A four-year-old. Won the 12 and under division. So there are 11 and 12-year-olds that are having a really bad week for getting clobbered by a four-year-old in the fishing contest, but he's having a good week. You know, and there will come a day when the stories aren't so funny, and, you know, he probably will go through a phase where he's going to be too cool to fish with his dad. But not today. Today, there is good news. Expect somebody in the City of Post started the week with some level of anxiety looking ahead to a doctor's appointment, knowing that this might be the week that cancer becomes a part of their life. And they go to the doctor, and this week it doesn't happen. This week, against some level of certainty or even against some level of probability, it's not this week. It turns out to be nothing. Turns out to be nothing. Doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. There may be another week, who knows how long from now, where the diagnosis will be different, where the news will not be so directly good. But not this week. Not this week. This week, there's good news. Or maybe there's a cancer survivor out there somewhere that's going to get out for the first time in a while. My good buddy, who I shared office space with for 13 years and is now retired, and who a year ago got the kind of diagnosis that almost always, if you scratch it a little bit, says if you make it 6 months, you'll be lucky. And if you don't have surgery, it'll be less than that. He didn't have surgery. Couldn't. And it's now 14 months later. And against all odds, they're calling him the miracle man. He and I are going to New Mexico on Friday to get 2 bushels of hot peppers that he will use to cook for the rest of the year and beyond. Long odds. Nobody does this with this cancer. And there may come a day, there will come a day, more likely than not, that the cancer will come back, if not this one, some other. He will very likely die of cancer at some point, but not today, not this week. For today, there is good news. All of us, if we thought about it a little, could at the end of an even lousy, crummy day, come up with a couple of pieces of good news. And if serotonin is the good news in our lives, prayer is the Prozac of our faith. And at the end of the day, maybe it's time to give God the good news report. And maybe as a way of easing ourselves into sleep where we draw the strength for the new day. Give God a good news report about the cat or the trip or the grandkid or the bullet dodged or the bullet caught and overcome. Whatever it is, spend a little time at the end of each day reciting the good news and let that be your lullaby, for the next day will come and bring what it will. But today, there is good news, and tomorrow we arise and shine, for our light has come. Amen.